You might like to turn in your Bible to the book of Jeremiah and chapter 6. In our study of Jeremiah, we have found the relevancy, the relationship between our present day and that day. And the people of Israel, Judah, and Jerusalem are not with it. They are not honoring God, looking to God, trusting God. And they were supposed to be, they are to be, his people. Therefore, they are responsible, and God is going to deal with them. And he's going to use Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, to be there, to be the paddle, to be the disciplining unit for them. And in the process, Nebuchadnezzar's coming down. He has, they are a merciless people in their combat, in their conquest. And Israel is worse off than they are in the sense that the heart, H-E-A-R-T, the heart of Israel is hard. So God, what do you do when we get so down, so locked on to our situation, so locked on to our conditions, our circumstances, when we get buried in our situation? And when we respond to it in not a very good way. So God, what do you do with the people? Well, Israel is an example for us. And they've gone from Jerusalem down to Tekoa, and God has arrested their attention, as we shared last week. And in verse 16, we shared together, "Thus saith the Lord," in arresting their attention. And the command is to stand ye. It's a command to stand upright, from sitting down, laying down, leaning. The word to stand up, position yourself for action. Don't be lazy, don't be sloppy. Get yourself poised, position yourself to make a move. And you're going to have to make one. You're going to make a choice now. And you have a choice if you would make it. You may not, but I give it to you. And that was something wonderful that God would give it to them. So thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. You're going to stand in the way. So here's standing up. You're looking at, here's road number one and pathway number two. And here they are in front of you. Which road do we go down? We're going down a road. Is that the right road? Or are we on the wrong road? Stand up and double check where you're headed. What are the consequences if you keep going like you are? What are the consequences going to be? Most of us never do that. People don't. They have no thought of the end result. And they're trying to do that in Congress and all of that with Syria and all of that. And no matter who wins, the bad guy wins. It's which bad guy wins. Which bad guy? The Brotherhood wins? Who's going to win? And so what do we do? You know, and here's the world and the Muslim world surrounding Israel. Now, in the light of that, here's Jerusalem and the people. And they are not conscious, they are not concerned about what is happening. And therefore, God arrests their attention by telling them to pay attention. You need to choose, you need to change your course. You need to repent. So in verse 16, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths, the old footpaths that you go down. Ask for the old paths that you go down. Now we're going to look at that in a minute, the trodden way. What is the course of life? Where was the way, looking back in history, where was the way that we, Israel, you people, Israel, came out good? When did you come out good? When was it a good road that you were on? When was your conduct profitable, pleasing to God, and very profitable, prosperous? When was it working out for you? Pay attention. When? When did that happen in the light of which way you're going now and the consequences thereof? And we want to see the consequences. You don't want to see the immediate. You want to look down the corridor. You're the same as whatever you do. You get married or whatever you do. You tell them not to look at the 3 days. You add 50 years. Now that's where you're going. That's what you chose to do. You chose now, and I want you to project 50 years or whatever you wish ahead. Where are you going to be then? You can predict. You can predict a lot. Human natures can be depended upon. And here's human nature in action using the illustration in this case of Israel. Walk and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way. So now, having said that, to look, to seek, the verb to look in verse 16, the S-E-E is the verb to look, to see with intentness, to see with purpose, to have mental understanding. See, pay attention with attention. Pay attention. See the way that you're going and ask for the old paths. Pay attention to where you're going in the light of where you should be going. All right? Now, going back just to see what could Israel, the people that were keen enough, prophets, priests, if they would, look back, what did you know in history? Over, please, to Deuteronomy and chapter 29. Deuteronomy and chapter 29. And in chapter 29, in Deuteronomy, we're looking now, if you were standing with them in Jerusalem, and you are talking about what God just said, stand up and pay attention, and now we start talking about, well, which way are we going? So now, chapter 29, in the book of Deuteronomy, may I go to, verse 1. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab beside the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. So here's going to carry it on further. Verse 2. And Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, you have seen, there's your little verb, to see, to look. You have seen, verse 2, you have seen unto, you have, verse 2, and Moses called unto all Israel and said unto them, you have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt unto Pharaoh, and unto his servants, and unto his hand, unto his land, all his land. The great temptations, testings, trial, which thine eyes have seen, you've seen them, the signs and those great miracles, you were visual, you had your ears and your eyes, and you saw all of those things. Verse 4, yet, having seen all of that, the Lord hath not given you an heart to perceive, the eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. Why not? Verse 5. I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxen old upon you. Thy shoe is not waxen old upon thy foot. You have not eaten bread, neither have you drunk wine or strong drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God. You have had 40 years. This is at the end now. Deuteronomy is before Moses dies and Joshua crosses the Jordan. And you have had 40 years where you have never been sick. You never had to worry about your clothes wearing out. You never had to worry about anything. You never had a need. over 2 million people or more. 2.5, 3 million probably. You never had a need. Not one of you ever had a need. Unless they talk among themselves. Did you? No. Did you? Did you? We never had one. We never had a need. Physically, materially. We never needed a doctor. We never had a stomach ache, as it were. We never had anything. God said, you and you saw my fire by night and the cloud by day, and you knew. And what did you know? You saw, you heard, you understood, and you have put me aside. You have not honored my presence. And thus, chapter 29, over to chapter 31. Chapter 31. Why, God, what was the problem? You certainly were there. They certainly had all the evidence, but they just didn't do it. Deuteronomy chapter 31, picking up Moses' response. For I know, remember he's going to die, I know thy rebellion and thy stiff neck. Behold, while I'm yet alive with you this day, you have been rebellious against the Lord. How much more after my death? So what is the outlook, Moses? It's going to go from not good to not good at all. It's going to go down, not up. It's going to go down. Now, God said, listen, you guys had, wow, what opportunity. And you didn't take it. Over to chapter 4 of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy in chapter 4. Earlier, Moses reminded them of their commission. And in chapter 4, picking up, please. Oh, in chapter 4, oh, verse 29. But if from thence thou shalt seek, remember now they're going to honor the Lord, then they're going to not honor the Lord, they're going to be scattered just like they were with the Assyrians and then the Babylonians. Verse 29, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him. If thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Now you got to mean business in this. Verse 30, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things that come upon thee, even in the latter days, it's going to be one tough day for you. If thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice, if you turn to me, when the darkest, dreariest, deepest downtime you have, if you would turn to me, there I am. I'm there. God, do we have to go all the way to the bottom sometime? Sometime. Sometime we have to fall out the building, and we could have been relieved at the 20th story, and then the 10th story, and then the 5th story, and each time they reach out and say, here, I'll help you and save you. And we don't. It's comfortable out there falling. And after all, and boom, you hit the cement. And that sort of wakes you up. You hit the cement and say, oops, wasn't such a good thing. But sometime you have to hit the cement. Sometime you have to hit it. And now God says to them, even though you go all the way down, and you'll be obedient, and you look to me with all your heart, seek me with all your heart, you will find me. Now, verse 31. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God. He will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. God is going to honor his word and his mercy. Now, all of that is wonderful. But if it doesn't mean anything to you, if all that God said, we just read that, if you were an Israelite in the days of Jeremiah, and you were and you came along and read this to the little group of people that are wondering why we're supposed to stand up, why are we supposed to pay attention to which direction we're going, and you read this to them, and you read it to them like it was back then, and you know what? It doesn't have any meaning. If I'll help you another way, God was merciful to you today. God was merciful to you today. Was he? Be careful, because he was. Did you know it? Were you conscious of God's mercy and grace today? Were you? Did you even thank God for it? Did you think of it? Did it even occur to you? It didn't occur to them. It meant nothing for God to tell them all these wonderful things. They were just a whole pile of words. The people did nothing with them. Nothing. Nothing. Now they're going to pay for that down the road. And here we are in Jeremiah, and the payment time has come up. So now, in the light of that, and you would remember without turning there in Isaiah 6 of that, why not? You're on your way back. Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah, what are you going to say to the people in Judah and Jerusalem? Isaiah chapter 6, and remember his wonderful ministry for 40 years. Not many people would sign up for it today, but after all... And remember, he had 40 years, and it would be terrible ministry. Never fruit. Zilch. 40 years of breaking your heart, and you got nothing. Nothing. Would you do it? Would you sign up? Ah. Well, Isaiah did, and you know, God telling him, hear ye and go and tell this people, hear, verse 9, 6 and 9, hear ye indeed, but understand not, see ye indeed, but perceive not. You see, but you don't understand. Why not? Verse 10, make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, shut their eyes, lest the what? You don't, what are they? They want to see with their eyes and hear with their ears, but they really don't want to. And understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. That's what they don't want to be changed. They don't mind having benefits, clothes, medicine, food, protection. They don't mind that. They just don't touch my life. Let me be who I am. Ah, now, so having said that, in verse 11, then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. Jerusalem's going to be ruined, and your ministry. God bless you. Off you go. Their heart is hard. Hard. Deuteronomy, crossing the Jordan, and it gets harder and harder and harder. And the harder the heart gets, the more. And you know why it gets hard? Because there's a mental rejection. And when you mentally reject understanding and light, mentally do so, then what happens? When you mentally are blinded, your visual appearance of things is distorted. Because your concept in here of what you see out here is flavored by in here in your mind. And your mind translates. Your mind makes things come and be what they are, what you want them. Like colored glasses. It makes everything the same color you look at. Your mind. your mind, your mentality. They had a mentality that hardened and hardened. And so no matter what they heard, no matter how wonderful it would be, it wouldn't make any difference because they couldn't connect to it, couldn't connect at all. Now, so in the light of that, and remember the failure to learn, and they did fail to learn, and the Israel in the north, the 10 tribes, 100 years earlier, had gone into captivity by the Assyrians. And they, and Nebuchadnezzar's coming, and they're failing to grasp the impact, the import, the signs, the symptoms, the warnings isn't catching on at all to them. They sort of want to be stupid about the whole thing. So now, chapter 6 of Jeremiah. Verse 16, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Where is the good way? The good way. Now the good, the path you're trod, you, where your feet go. This is the pathway. Where, how do you know where to go? Because look at all the path. It's trodden down. It's well worn. It's obviously where people, how the path they go down to get to wherever they're going. So now, in verse 16 again, where is the good way? Where is the good way? Now they're going to go. They're going to go, and they're looking, and they're seeing, and they're asking for the old paths. Where is the good way? They're going to ask for them. Look to them, to press, to be pressing, urgent, asking, looking to penetrate, the verb to penetrate. To press into something, to get some. Yeah, in other words, it's very serious. You're asking with intensity, with some. You really mean you want to know something. You're asking for help. Yes. All right. And in the light of that, and before we do that, would you go over with me just for a moment, because you'll pick it up. Back over to Deuteronomy. I want to give you very simply, in a one statement, what they should have been doing. All the way down the line, they just never did it. Deuteronomy, and in chapter 10, remember they want to know which way to go, the good way. Where is the good way? Deuteronomy chapter 10, and picking up if I can please, in chapter 10, going all to verse 12 directly. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of you? Now just think now, if you were one of them, and we are better, more than they are in a good way, in a different way, God require. God, what do you want of us? What do you want of Israel? Verse 12. But to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways. Where's the good way? There's your word. To walk in his ways. To fear the Lord thy God. To walk in all his way. Whose ways? His way. So which way? Which way? Your way, God. That's the way we want to go. Not our way. Your way. In all his ways. And to love him. And to serve the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your soul. What do you want out of me? I want you to honor me. And that's true right now. You want to know which way do I go? What do? Bend your heart and honor me. That's what I want. But no, you want an answer. The Lord Jesus said it, didn't he? I am the what? John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You want the way? I'm the way. I'm the way. But there must be some other. No, that's the only way. Now, I know everything, as you'll see, just a sec. All the stuff. You want another way? I know all the ways. I know everything. So you want another way? You want to come to the one who knows the way. I am the guide, the governor. I know. I am the way. You're going to look to me? And you're going to lead me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. That's what you're going to do. Okay. Back over, if you would, please. On your way. And keeping in mind, Jeremiah chapter 7 now. And remember now, God, they want to know the way. Ask the way, pressingly, sincerely, looking, seeking to honor the Lord with all your heart, obediently, looking to God. And in doing so, you're going to do so. And remember, if you took time to read it, you don't have to, in Hosea and that, they were asking counsel of their idols. Asking, there's the same verb. Instead of asking God, I'm asking my friends on the phone. I'm asking somebody. Why don't you try God? Why don't you try asking God? Well, if my phone call fails, maybe. No. That's wrong starting point. No, I've got to look to God. You mean your first? Who's your first choice when you got a problem? I should be. Who's your last choice? I should be. Who's the choice everything in between? I am. You look to me with all your heart, and when you look to me with all of your heart, how much of your heart is left for somebody else? How much is left of you if you give looking to God with all of you? How much is there left to give to anyone else? There's nothing left to give to anyone else. Nothing. Good. Now, chapter 7. And we did it. I think I did this, but let's hit it again. And chapter 7. Picking up, if I can, in verse 22. For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. Well, what did you speak to them about? But this thing commanded I them, saying, obey my voice, I will be your God, and ye shall be my people. And walk ye in all my ways, there's your word, little word, that I have commanded you. Why? That it may be well with you. Verse 24. But they hearkened not, N-O-T, nor incline their ear. Were they going to have a hearing ear? No. But walked in the counsels of their, in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forwards. Verse 25. Since, now when did they start this problem? Since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets, daily rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearken not unto me, nor incline their ear, but hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. I tried to do it. So when you were in the wilderness, I already told you, Moses said, once I'm gone, it's going to go downhill. And the Lord said, it has never gone uphill. It never went uphill, always downhill, which we did the other night. Now, keeping that in mind, over, if you would, while you're in Jeremiah, over to chapter 18. And you'll catch it again. Chapter 18. And picking up, if I can, in a little bit in verse 12. I'll even read verse 11 so you get the flavor of it. Now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you. I devise a device against you. Return ye now, every one, from his evil way, and make your ways and your doings good. And they said, there is no hope. But we will walk after our own devices. We will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. God, the Bible, nah. You're trying to put going to get something good out of the Bible? Something good from God? Nah. Verse 13. Therefore, Thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, the nations, who hath heard such things. The virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. Will a man leave the snow of Lebanon, which cometh from the rock of the field? Or shall the cold flowing waters that come from another place be forsaken? Because my people hath forgotten me. They have burnt incense to vanity, false gods. They have caused them, the gods, they went down the wrong road. Remember, Standy, which way are you going to go? Well, they went down, the people said, go this way, go that way, go this way, go that way. And they went one of those ways, and when they went down, boy, did Israel pay a price. And in verse 15, they have burned incense to vanity, false gods. They have caused them to stumble in their ways. And there's the way and the path. And the ancient paths to walk in paths in a way not cast up. Not, in other words, it isn't a highway. It's a jungle, an uneven road. You want to look for a nice road to go down. God had given you a nice road. Walk before me and be thou perfect. Trust me. Very straight. Don't have to worry about it. Just go. One day at a time. But they aren't going to do that. They've chosen to go another way, and that road is not a good way. The world does it because they don't care. But hey, you're a believer. What are you doing on that road? What are you doing in that direction? Now, so in the light of that, or if you would please, Job. Go to the book of Job. So now here we are. We want to learn something from it. Obviously, Israel is very set. That's why Jerusalem's going to go to the ruins, to be burned up, etc. Because they aren't going to change. And lots of people don't want to change. They don't want to change. Yeah, that's all right. They don't have to change. Do whatever you want. I mean, stay with your idiosyncrasies all the days of your life. You never have to fix anything. You want to stay? This is my personality. Well, how about letting God get to your personality? You know, whatever. And God, mold me, help me. But oh, no, God can't do that. No. Job, chapter 23. Job is going through a trial, test, trouble, as you know and you would recall. And in the process, he is looking to God. He's in great physical, financial, all kinds of ways, family-wise, friends-wise. He's in trouble. He's all by his lonesome on that dunghill, as it were. All alone on there. And then the three friends are trying to, miserable counselors are trying to help him. But hey, that's it. And we never hear any more of his wife. She's out there. But hey, here he is sitting there. Wow. Now, God, what are you going to do, Job? You want to know the way. God, if you said to Job, stand ye and see the good way, the old path. Job, you're an old guy back with Abraham. So therefore, Job, what do you know about the old ways? Well, God is a wonderful God, and I'm going to look to him. And thus, as we get the little context, verse 8. Behold, I go forward, but he is not there. You know, and backwards. But I cannot perceive him. On the left hand, where he doth work. But I cannot uphold him. He hideth himself in the right hand. But I cannot see him. God, where are you in all of this? Here's it all. We can see it. We can hear it. Television, media, everything. Smartphones, everything. Wow, we're getting it. Well, where are you, God? And in verse 10, but God, he knoweth the way. There's your little word you're looking at, the good way, Jeremiah 6:60. He knoweth the way, the path, the trodden path that I take. God knows where I am. And when he hath tried me, put me to the test, I shall come forth as gold. God knows the way that I am going. God, you put me under the pressure. That's where you learn. When I had time to witness to a fellow today, a businessman, and in the process, looking at everything, I said, the trial, he said, you know, anyway, you don't need all that stuff. But I said, the most wonderful, effective school is the College of Hard Knocks. There's no college that will teach you as well and as thoroughly as the College of Hard Knocks. And when you go to that school and you are well educated, you are going to be able to handle, and you aren't going to need a smartphone, because you'll be smarter than the smartphone. In fact, I hope you are all smarter than a smartphone. Now think about that. Smarter than a smartphone. Are you? I'm going to rub it down. Are you smarter than a smartphone? Do you have more sense than your smartphone? Or is your smartphone smarter than you? Now, verse 10. When he has tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Verse 11. My foot hath held his steps, God's steps. His way, God's way, there's your little word. His way have I kept. I am not declined. In other words, I didn't drift, God. I'm hanging in there. I'm not going anywhere. God, do what you're going to do, and for the reasons you're going to do it, I want to be a beneficiary of all of the exercise. As hard as it is, I want to come out of it with fine gold. Now, and thus, verse 12, neither have I gone back from the commandment of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. But he is of one mind, and who can turn him? And what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. Now, God, how am I going to change you? God, you have to change me. I don't change you. You have to change me. I'm the one that gets changed. I'm not going to tell you how to run it. You are going to tell me how you run it. Now, so I've got that, God. And thus, in verse 13 again, but he is of one mind, who can turn him, and what his soul desireth, even that he doeth. For, what's he do? For he performs, he completes, he causes it to happen. He causes, completes the thing that is appointed for me. Now, God, what have you got in mind for me? Well, God said to Job, I'm going to help you. What did you say to the people of Jerusalem? This is what I have in mind. I'm going to help you. I could have clipped you in Jerusalem. I didn't. I've let you go all the way south to Tekoa. And I'm giving you another shot. How are you dealing with them? One way. How did you deal with Job? Another way. Thus, he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. And to add, many such things are with him. Now you read that. Honestly, are you happy reading that? If you think about it, God, you got a whole lot of wonderful things for me. And I'm in it. This is one of them, on the dunghill here, as it were, with all the problems. That's one of them. But it isn't the end. No, it isn't the end. Now, and thus, verse Verse 15. Therefore, am I troubled. I am troubled at his presence. I am terrified at his presence. When are you really disturbed? When I consider, here I am in my physical thing in the pile of dung, as it were, like that. And who knows what else, God? And when I consider, what else could God do? What else could God make happen? When I consider it, I'm terrified. Wow. Aha. Now, and when I consider, I am afraid of him. God, what are you going to do? Oh, Job, you know better. And he does. Verse 16. For God maketh my heart. God is making my heart, causes my heart to be soft, weak, frail. And the Almighty goes, and he is troubling me. He's agitating my heart and my mind. I am having to exercise in the trial, in the trouble, in the temptation. I'm having to exercise my mind and heart. I get buried down, and I don't know whether to put it all out or bring it all in or what to do. I don't know. God, you do. When you... in the darkest bottom, when you're at the bottom of the floor, at the building, as it were, look up, and you'll see him right there. Seek me with all your heart, and you'll find me. Israel, it's so wonderfully great in your mercy, but they aren't interested in God's mercy, not at all. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and thus, verse 17, because I was not cut off before the darkness, neither hath he covered the darkness from my face. God, why didn't you help me? You know, God, no temptation hath taken you, but such is what? Common to man. And God will not, other than, more than, in spite of, God will never put you through anything that you can't get through with him. And if it is more than, God will give you a way out. God will never let it be more than what he wants. God knows our frailty and our faultiness. Never more. Never. Israel, the mercy of God, what you want, they weren't paying attention. No, hardly, not at all. So now, over, if you would, Psalm 139, we'll close. I committed myself. What can I tell you? And David, would you help me? I'm going to go directly. Remember, you can't escape the presence of God. I'm going to go directly to verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whether shall I flee from thy presence? God, there's nowhere to go. I go up, go down, go in, go out, go to the bottom of the ocean. I go, where am I going to go? Where can I go? And you would ask yourself that. Realistically now, very objectively, where would you go to get away from God, his presence? That's just a question. Where will you go to get away from the presence of God? Where? Where will you go? Or to make it easier, where will you go to get away from the presence of air? You're at the bottom of the ocean of air. Where do you go to get away from it without death? Now, so God, where can I go? Said David. There isn't any place. Therefore, verse 23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. In the light of that, because, verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way. There's your little word, way. I don't want to go the wrong way. Stand ye in a gap. Stand ye up. Make a choice in which way you're going to go. Don't go the wrong way. Go my way. David said, I don't want to go. In my heart, God, would you head off whatever's in my heart, whatever dumb thinking and feeling and fears I have, God, would you head off, be ahead of me and cut in, and don't let that happen. Verse 24, and see if there be any wicked way in me and lead me in the way, same word, everlasting. God, don't let me make a stupid choice. Don't let me do a dumb thing. A dumb thing. Don't do a dumb thing. Don't allow yourself to be duped by, remember in Jeremiah, you don't have to turn back there. Remember the priests and the prophets and all were saying, peace, peace, when there what? There is no peace. And there was slightly. Don't worry about the problems. They're insignificant. They're nothing. Everything will be fine. Don't be duped. Life and death are serious things. They're very serious. And you don't want to have to go through. I bet you if you were living in Siberia, that's no good either. I bet you if you were living in Syria, you'd be on your toes when you went to bed and when you got up. Don't you think? You'd be on your toes. And all the little things about life all of a sudden aren't quite so important. Because man, who knows whether you're going to get shot or you're going to whatever it is today. And you don't know that. Wow. Wow. So God, don't let us be duped by the stupid system and the religious, political. God, don't let us get duped into missing out. Secondly, God, don't let us get over-concerned. Over-concerned. And you're worried about this, and you're worried about the decision in Congress. You're worried about the decision in Syria. You're worried about this, and worried about work, and worried about this, and worry. Don't get over-concerned. Be concerned, but don't worry about it. Don't get overly so. Don't get afraid. Don't get afraid. You make lousy decisions when you're afraid. You don't make decisions when you're afraid. You quiet your heart. Then you make decisions. Now, and so, God, here we are. Well, then, thirdly, what then? Make sure you're taking God's point of view. God, how do you see things? Not how does God see them? How does God see your heart? How does God see your situation? How does God see the world? Doesn't he know all about it? Sure he does. Sure he does. So God, what am I going to know? I want to look to you, God. I want to look, God. And remember you told me, God. You told us, John 14, let not your heart be troubled. In my Father's house are many abiding places. I go to prepare a place for you. Don't be troubled. Don't be troubled. Get your heaven. Get a heaven. Heaven's view. And what am I going to do, my Father? Well, God, you told me. What'd you say? Your Father? Father, what do you know about? What are you telling me? I know your need. My God, my Father knows. Your Father, say, knows our need. Matthew 6, 8, etc. Doesn't he? I don't know. Does God, the Father, know your need? If you're saved, I don't know. Some of you can't say anything because you don't know. But if you're saved, boy, you better know. Yes, sir, my Father knows. And God tells me not to be afraid. Not to be afraid of man. We read it the other day in Isaiah 51. Don't be afraid. Man die. Men breathe. Like grass. Flowers of the field. Dust. Why are you afraid of men? I don't want to be afraid of men. I want to be afraid of myself. I don't want to be afraid of my stupid nature. No, no, no. On the contrary, God, what am I going to do? Well, I'm going to go and look to you. And remember, you told us, Matthew 10, you told us what? Don't fear them that can kill the body. That sounds rather drastic, could kill the body. Don't worry about them. Don't worry about them. No, what am I going to do? You want to keep your heart right. You concern yourself and have a healthy fear, reverence for him, you, my Father, who can take my soul and body. The world can only touch my body. They cannot have my person, my soul. Can't touch it. You can cut off my arms and my legs, and you can have them, but you can't have me. And I hope that can be said of you. You belong to whom? The living and only God. And no one else can ever, ever have you, including the devil. And therefore, what can I tell you? To get a little bit. Stand ye and make a choice. You can go your way or my way. And I'm telling you, don't be like Israel. What a dumb crowd that was. And they said no. They said no all the time. Do you know one day is coming up, they're going to say yes. And do you know what it's going to take? 7 years of tribulation. Horrible, horrible, horrible conditions in the world. It's going to take that.